Our sermon text today is from Hebrews 11, verses 27 through 29. As we finish up the life of Moses as it is described for us in Hebrews chapter 11, that chapter on the faith of Christians, what faith looks like and how it acts and behaves. And we look to but one of the couple of events that are described in Hebrews from Moses' life. We're looking at just one of those in Exodus 14, the crossing of Israel through the Red Sea. And while we remember this great event, we know that it happened. We've read it before, perhaps. I do hope that you have your Bibles open there so that you can follow along. For some of us in this room, the younger ones, I'm sure this might be the very first time you've ever read or heard the story. And for all of us, it is good for us to hear it again for the first time, as it were. Hear now God's word from Exodus 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, 'They are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in.' Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, And the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud. And he troubled the army of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and on their horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus, Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt, and so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And then we turn to the New Testament, to our text, those three verses from Hebrews 11 at verse 27. Hebrews 11 at verse 27. "By faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned." Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his gospel to us today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for the enormous blessing it is just to read of your salvation again in Scripture. We pray, O Lord, today that the familiar aspects of this story would not get in the way of us learning the proper faith we are to have because of what you've shown us in this story. Help us not to treat this like some fable or fairy tale or Hollywood movie, but indeed it is the gospel revealed to us first and foremost and finally in Holy Scripture. And so grant us faith to receive and believe your gospel today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, congregation, there's a sermon outline in the bulletin for you if you'd like to see that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, fear was a big part of the events we just described. Fear that Israel had about the Egyptian armies rushing at them, and they were walled in with the sea behind them and the army in front of them and nowhere to go. Fear about who God is and who is God here and what can he do and if he can really deliver on his promises. And fear is still a big part of our life today. Where do you look when you have fears? I don't ask, are you afraid or do you ever get afraid? We know the answers to those things. Of course, there are many things and situations that frighten us. But where do we look when we are afraid? Do we look to the phone to dial 911? Do we look to the closet for the firearm? Do we look to mom and dad to help us out? Do we look to some drink or some entertainment activity to drown away and push out the fears of the unknown that we just want to ignore for a while? Where do we look when we are afraid? By faith, we read about where Moses looked when he was facing fear. We read a text, our theme summarizes this. By faith, Moses looked to the invisible God when he was in the face of fear. Moses looked by faith at the invisible God, and that is who he feared and how he faced his fears. There are two different kinds of fear described in our passage. The first fear is the fear of man's wrath. And we'll look at how Moses dealt with that fear of Pharaoh, the king's wrath. But the second kind of fear that is also described very much in our passage is a fear of God's wrath. And we'll look at how Moses dealt with that fear as well. Moses was a man of Christian faith, and he saw and feared the invisible God. It boggles our minds to say that you can see the invisible, but by faith you can. And what is remarkable about Moses' faith is not that he saw God as much as when we're told he saw God. Not when times were good, not when he had economic prosperity and a full belly, but when he was on the run, when he was being hunted down, when he was responsible for a couple million people's safety. And then he still saw God, even when those people turned on him and said it would have been better if we would have stayed slaves in Egypt than to come out here. Well, the first thing we look at in the way Moses lived by faith is in verse 27, how he faced the fear of man's wrath. In the fear of man's wrath, Moses looked to the invisible God. Look at verse 27 with me again. By faith, he forsook Egypt. To forsake someone, boys and girls, is to turn your back on them, to reject them, their way of doing things, not to listen to them. You're not to forsake your parents, the Bible says, but Moses forsook Egypt and that way of life and their rules and their religions and their good things, their pleasures, their treasures, their honor, as we saw last week. Moses forsook them all. But doing so came at a price. He now was under the king's wrath. He was a marked man. He had betrayed the country. And verse 27 says there was such a thing as the wrath of the king. Moses wasn't fearing it, but it did exist. And what could the king do to Moses? What could Pharaoh do? Pharaoh could do a lot to Moses. Pharaoh could make Moses a slave. Pharaoh could kill Moses. Pharaoh could hunt Moses down. Pharaoh could create unrest in the heart of the Israelites so that they wouldn't follow Moses. Pharaoh could spread lies about Moses amongst the people. Pharaoh could do a lot of things. But he could not take away and steal what mattered most. He could never touch the fact that Moses belongs to God and Moses had faith in God. Pharaoh could not take that faith away. We see that this is how Moses faced the wrath of the king. In verse 27, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For this reason, he endured that wrath, he endured the difficulty, he endured the suffering, because he saw a different king. He saw him who is invisible. That's what faith is. Go back to the first verse of Hebrews 11. What does that say? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. And on through the chapter we have seen that Christians live and walk by faith, not by sight. This is what Moses did. What had Moses seen? Think of what he had really seen of God. He's about to lead Israel out into the wilderness. What had he seen? Among the things he had seen are the first 9 plagues on Egypt. Egypt had many gods. They had a god of the Nile River. And God, by the plagues he sent, purposefully made fun of the Egyptian gods and purposefully showed that he's the true God and all these others are imposters and false. And so the God of the Nile couldn't stop the true God from turning the waters of the Nile into blood. The Egyptians worshipped a frog god, but that frog god couldn't stop a whole plague of frogs coming across the land when God sent them. They worshipped also a sun god, but that sun god couldn't stop the true God from sending a plague of darkness across the land. Everyone had seen this power of God. Moses had seen it, and he believed in this invisible God. Moses knew that this God exists, and you better get right with him. All these plagues had proven it. Pharaoh had hardened his heart against God, but Moses had turned his heart towards God in faith. There are some lessons we can learn from this. John Calvin comments on the lessons we learn from the fact that Moses turned his eyes towards God here. We learn first that the true character of faith is just that, to set God always in front of your eyes. A second thing we learn is that faith sees higher and more hidden things in God than what our senses can perceive. We can know more about God than if he were standing here in the room in the form of a person or showing us a video clip. We can learn more about God by having to listen to his word and live by faith and be on a pilgrimage and a journey, not home yet. We can learn more about God in this way, by seeing the invisible God. A third lesson we learn is that it is when we are in times of weakness, it is only looking at God that makes us strong. That makes us, as Calvin put it, firmer than rocks. Now, what's harder than a rock, kids? I can't possibly think of anything harder than a rock. The hardest substance, I believe, known to man is a diamond, which is a type of rock. And yet you can be harder than a rock, harder than a diamond, by faith. You can withstand whatever the world throws at you, whatever Pharaoh throws at you, whatever China or North Korea send at us, whatever it is. You can withstand the assaults of Satan by faith. You see, Moses, instead of fearing the king and his wrath, which was real, replaced that opportunity to be afraid with the right kind of fear, a fear of the true God. Fearing God is always the replacement for fear of man and what other people can do. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 28, the same thing. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Pharaoh couldn't do that, but God can. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. God's people have always lived by faith in the face of the king's wrath, by looking at the one who is invisible. Now, the wrath and the difficulty and the source of the anger and the persecution and the trouble that we face today is not from a Pharaoh. It may be from a number of different places. It might be from an employer. It might be from your spouse. I have spoken with Christian women who are afraid of their husbands. I've spoken with Christian men who are afraid of their wives. Because if they do what is right and honorable, they're not afraid that they're going to get slapped around, but they're afraid of the persecution and the trouble and the conflict that will continue in the marriage simply because they did what is right before God. And the answer to that fear is presented to us here in the life of Moses. To look to the one who is invisible, to the God who is God. That's how God's people have always lived. Think of David as he faced Goliath. David faced Goliath the same way Moses faced Pharaoh, by seeing the invisible God. We read in that story in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, that David said to the Philistine, "You come at me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Now imagine you're David there. We think of David as short. We don't really know if he was short, but compared to Goliath, he was certainly short. And David's looking up there at Goliath, this man over 9 foot tall, and yet behind Goliath, he sees in faith someone even taller than Goliath, someone even bigger and stronger, the invisible God. This is what faith does. Or think of that great reformer in Scotland, John Knox. He was asked how he could do what he did, so boldly preaching the gospel of grace. And as he did that, there were times when he had to confront one of the people in his congregation, occasionally, who happened to be the Roman Catholic Queen of Scotland, who despised the gospel. How could you preach the gospel when she despises that and you know it and you still preach it anyway when she's sitting there listening? And John Knox replied, "One does not fear the Queen of Scotland when he has been on his knees before the King of Kings." One does not fear the Queen of Scotland when he has been on his knees before the King of Kings. And so it doesn't matter whether it's a pharaoh, a president, a bureaucracy, an employer, a family member, a friend, whoever it is, wherever the source of persecution and trouble and trial upon you, God calls you to answer those real fearful situations with this fear. Looking at the one who is bigger and taller and stronger, the King of Kings. That's how Moses endured by that faith. The second thing we see in our text, as Moses fears the invisible God, is how he faced not only the fear of what people could do, but as he also faced the fear of the true God, the fear of God's wrath. Moses still looked to that very same God who had wrath and has wrath. This fear of God's wrath is presented very plainly in two different ways in our verses, in verse 28 and in verse 29. There are two different events, so we'll take them as separately, but they're really under this whole heading, the fear of God's wrath. The first picture of this fear of God's wrath is the picture we see in the Passover. In verse 28, we read, "By faith Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them." Moses kept the Passover. We remember that. That was that Passover lamb that they had to, on the night before they left Egypt, that Passover lamb that they had to sacrifice and put the blood of it on the doorposts and so on. Moses kept that. But why did he keep it? According to Hebrews 11, he kept it because he was afraid. Don't miss that. But this kind of fear here is a good fear, unlike the fear that he could have had of Pharaoh. In verse 28, it says, "By faith he kept the Passover, by faith, lest he should be destroyed." He didn't want to be destroyed. By whom? By the Lord who sent his angel through on that tenth and last plague. He was afraid of God's wrath. And that fear led him to do something. To do what? Not to turn away from God to some other religion. I don't like this about my God, so I'll go to the Buddhist God or the Muslim God or my entertainment world, and that will fill that void in my life for now. And then when I need the other God, I'll go to him on this day of Christmas and Easter, and I'll go to these other gods the rest of the year when it's football season or whatever. But that's not how he lived. Even though he knew there was a real God who had wrath upon people who had sinned and rejected him, he went to that very same God and listened to his words. And he said, if you want to escape this wrath, here is the way, the only way. This particular sacrifice of this lamb. You see, Moses lived by faith in everything that God said. Moses was far more afraid of what the true God could do to him than what any Pharaoh would ever do. Is that the kind of impulse in your heart? That the one you're most concerned about pleasing and honoring and loving and getting right with in your relationship is God? More than anyone else? You want to make sure you are satisfying Him. More than your kids, more than other people's expectations of you. Moses was concerned that he honor and obey the Lord. Because there was a way of escape from wrath. And God showed that way. God had a door of mercy open to his people, and it is still open today. In that event of the Passover, it looked like this. I'm going to read from Exodus 12, verse 23. Where it says in Exodus 12, 23, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. That's why it's called Passover. The people of God were passed over. The judgment, the wrath passed over them. And they stayed safe inside. Now, it might seem strange to us that a few drops of blood smeared on the doorposts and frame of your front door of your house would matter. But that's what God had commanded. And the only way those would get there was if it was done on purpose in a particular way, because people had been given this command of God and they followed God's word and trusted in His way of being rescued. That's always what it means to honor and obey and worship God, huh? Not to create our own ways of avoiding the wrath to come, create our own ways of what we think heaven and hell are and all of that, but to listen to what God's word says and let that shape and our faith and our beliefs in our life. This is what Moses and the people of God did. And while Moses certainly didn't know and understand all the depth of what he was doing when he offered the Passover, we know from the New Testament very plainly that Moses was here by offering this Passover, showing us the suffering and the sacrifice of Christ himself. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Jesus is identified as the Passover, our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. Moses knew and was seeing the gospel in a little tiny seed form, you could say. Faith's most important action always is to lay hold on Jesus and what He has done in being sacrificed for you. That's what the Christian faith is. We know that. There was a pastor in the early church who said it well. Over a thousand years ago, a pastor named John Chrysostom preached on this very passage, and he said this: if the blood of a lamb preserved the Jews unhurt in the midst of the Egyptians, and in the presence of such a great destruction, much more will the blood of Christ save us, for whom it has been sprinkled not on our doorposts, but on our souls. And so let us be armed with Christ's sacrifice, since God has brought us out from Egypt, our idolatry, our slavery unto sin and Satan. How do we apply this glorious fact of Moses facing the fear of God's wrath by offering this Passover sacrifice? Well, one thing we should note, and we could go in more detail, but we won't, is that Moses had the same faith as you and I. These Old Testament Israelites are part of the same covenant, same way of being saved as we are. Another thing that we understand here is that we must today also participate in the Passover. How are we to flee from the wrath to come? By true faith in the way that Christ has offered to avoid that wrath. When we take the Lord's Supper, we proclaim His death till He come. When we ignore the Lord's Supper and do as we please, we proclaim our death until He comes. Either way, every human's life is proclaiming a death. Which one? The Egyptians, who did not offer that sacrifice on the Passover night, were proclaiming their own death. And that's exactly what they experienced. And people who do not eat and drink in faith and live by faith in this world in Christ also proclaim their own death. And that's exactly what they face in this life and in the life which is to come. Because there is a world to come. And God's wrath will determine who goes into the joyful aspect of that world and who goes into the place of gnashing of teeth. And in that day, it will be worse than what Egypt faced, because in Egypt it was only the firstborn who died. But in the final day, when Christ returns, it doesn't matter whether you're firstborn, secondborn, or seventhborn, or what your order in the family. What matters is whether or not you have had faith in that Passover lamb, Christ. And if not, it doesn't matter. You will be punished for your sins. Moses knew God's wrath. He was afraid of it. And the way to face that fear was to look to God Himself and the sacrifice God would provide by obeying His word. The other illustration, the last thing we see in our text from verse 29, is how Moses, in the fear of God's wrath, looked to the invisible God in this example of the passing through. Not the Passover, but you could say the passing through, as they passed through the Red Sea. In verse 29, clearly, both salvation and judgment are presented in the same verse. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, but the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Literally, that word drowned means swallowed up. Swallowed up by the waters. Not a pleasant experience. We know what happened. It says, we read that the Israelites saw the Egyptians there, dead on the seashore. Why is that little detail put in there? So that we know this isn't a fairy tale. There were eyewitnesses to this event. We learn a lesson here also. As we look at verse 29, we start to notice a little bit of a change. Who's the subject of this sentence? It is not simply Moses who passed through the Red Sea. It says they, speaking of Moses and all the Israelites. Up till this point in Hebrews 11, it's always been a specific person, one person, Abraham or Moses or Noah. But now it's they, Moses, and all the Israelites who lived by faith. That's very important. They all lived by faith by going ahead and walking into the danger zone, the wet zone, if there ever was one. Though the ground was dry, there was a wall of water on each side through the Red Sea. And they walked by faith, literally, as they did that. You see, the Christian church member cannot be satisfied that there are people in the world who have faith, that there are leaders in the church who have faith and live by faith, and they're out there on the front lines, and good for them, and it's good for us. And we'll just ride along on their coattails. The Israelites themselves had to have faith. It wasn't enough that Moses had faith. And so too, we cannot be satisfied that our pastor or consistory members have faith. We cannot be satisfied that mom or dad has faith, or the grandma or grandpa has faith. We cannot tag along and live with one foot in heaven and one foot on earth and enjoying this world's pleasures and treasures. We cannot be satisfied, as I hear so many times people say, we cannot be satisfied that my spouse has faith and I'm thankful for that. But what about you? You also must have faith. God calls all of us to have faith. That's how it has always been. Even in the passing through the Red Sea, the only way any Israelite was going to be alive at the end of the day is if they lived by faith right then and there and walked forward. Otherwise, they would have drowned or been killed by the Egyptian armies that were coming. There was no trial run, no rehearsals for the passing through the Red Sea. It was now or never. Now is the time for action and for faith. And it is the same for us. We are told to watch. Christ is returning back. Now is the time to live by faith and obey the Lord. The people were afraid. Even though they knew God was with them, they were afraid. And yet Moses showed them that they did not have to be afraid of the Egyptians. And at the end of the story, we read those beautiful words, the very last verse, that they feared the Lord and believed in Him. You see, they did just what Moses did. They feared the God who had delivered them, sent wrath on the unbelievers and delivered them. What a difference faith makes. It matters if you believe. It matters. We know in the New Testament that what the Israelites experienced was not something simply for them. The apostle, the preacher here to the Hebrews, says this happened for his congregation there. And that was over 1,000 years after the Exodus from Egypt. And it is still the same for us. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through 4, we see that Moses' faith experience is united with ours because we believe in the same Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10, we read, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." And we have faith in that same Christ. So where do you look when you are afraid? When the source of your fear is the sin of others, man's wrath, woman's wrath, authority structures that are telling you what you can and can't do on the job or in the workplace or in school or among friends, when the source is from some human place, how do you face that fear? Moses feared the King of Kings, the invisible God. When the source of fear is God and the wrath upon your sin because you know you're a sinner and you don't deserve to have the goodness of hearing this salvation today, how do you face that? By turning to the same God who offered the way through His own sacrifice, through His own Son, that Lamb who was offered for us. Fear Him. We'll sing in a moment the very last verse of our closing song, that when you fear Christ, you have nothing else to fear. God is a God who loves and blesses His people who fear Him. He redeems them through fire, famine, sword, and Red Sea. And He will deliver you through the blood of His Son. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Oh, Father, how we thank You for this amazing joy that there is a way forward through and in the midst of fears. That wherever they come from, our own guilt over the sin in our heart that must be dealt with, or the evil of those around us in the world that is pressing in upon us and that we simply so many times cannot get out from under. Help us to face all of these things by looking to You, turning our eyes upon the invisible God, upon our Lord Jesus, and trusting that that sacrifice He offered is our only way of escape. We pray as He taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.